Welcome to another episode of Spotlight with Shubham. I'm co-founder of Mastera, an all-in-one platform for coaches and trainers to run and scale their online knowledge business. Today on Spotlight, we have Nisheya with us. She's the owner of She's the Budget Guru, a company that helps women have a better relationship with money and take back control of their finances. Welcome, Nisheya.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much for that awesome introduction, Shubham.
No, we are excited to have you here today. I'm looking forward to our conversation. And with that, tell us about yourself and how you got started as a financial coach.
Yeah, so I am, first and foremost, I'm a mom, so which is exciting, especially when we talk about money, because, you know, we can educate our kids to be better people, well, better money managers, so that, you know, they can have a really great financial future. But I'm a mom, and I am just an awesome, just a loving person who loves to help people in just multiple ways. But I was called into the financial space because I saw the need for it, and I saw how my life, like, really transform once I started taking control of my money and did not let my money control me. And it brought so much peace and happiness into my life. And sometimes, you know, we don't realize it's connected to our money as to why we're so stressed out. So that is how I actually got into the financial coaching space, because I was already helping people in different aspects. And a lot of it was just training. So a lot of training through my 9-to-5 job. And then outside of that, you know, people would just naturally ask me questions about, you know, money and just things that I was doing for myself that was working. And when I saw how it started to improve their finances, it's like, oh, you know, this is something I could really do. I can take what I do in my 9-to-5 with training and educating, and then also incorporate that in the financial space where there's such a huge need right now.
Awesome. No, that makes sense. And you're right. There's a huge need for that. And a lot of people do not understand money like it should be. So that's, I think, a great service you're doing for a lot of folks out there. With that, when was it was it a few years ago, or just from a timeline standpoint, how long you have been officially a financial coach?
It's been 2 years now. Awesome. Which is like the time just flies by and then you start seeing memories and old things and you're like, oh, wow, it's been 2 years now. So yeah, it's been 2 years.
And I'm sure that has been right with COVID and a lot of other changes happening and inflation and all of that. I guess a lot of need for financial education and coaching at this point.
Yes, it's when everyone needs it, because there's so much confusion about what's going to happen. And then, you know, we all know what happened during COVID with a lot of people losing their income. And many people did not have a savings or any type of nest egg to get them through that, you know, that transition. So it was a very stressful time for some people. If they had the education and the mindset and the preparation, you know, for those types of things already in place, it may not have been such a hard blow for some people.
That makes sense. Tell us a little bit about the type of clients that you work with. Is there a type of persona or a client that you want to work with over the others?
Well, it's usually women I work with. Very few men do I work with, but I'm always like, naturally attract to women, but it's usually women who have, they've gone into like a higher income bracket than where they were before. And now they're in a place where they're making more money, but yet they're still feeling like they're living that lifestyle that they were living when they had less money. So they got their promotion, or, you know, they've really 10x their business, but yet they're still, you know, their money is all over the place. They're on that financial roller coaster, as some of them say. They're still living paycheck to paycheck. They have debt, they have no savings. And they're wondering, like, how is it that I'm making all this extra money, but yet I'm still living the same lifestyle? So that's usually the women that I'm called to. It's not necessarily a certain demographic. It's just those women that are now in, you know, a different financial space, but yet they're still, their finances still feel like they're making less money.
Got it. Okay. And what's the, just curious, there are financial advisors out there and there are financial coaches as well. So would you categorize yourself as sort of playing on both sides or more on the coaching side of the things?
Definitely the coaching side. For me, I categorize financial advisors as someone that's going to help people really build their portfolio so that future planning, like retirement, estate planning, planning for life insurance, those types of things, where a coach is going to help with the mindset. They're going to help with those financial strategies. They're going to give you different techniques and things that are going to work for someone to really help them set that financial foundation of having a spending plan, having savings, having debt, and then also realizing like, what are my triggers? What are the things that are going to get in the way of me sticking to goals that I put in place for myself so that I don't revert back to the old me or doing the old habits that I used to have. So that's how I differentiate advisors versus coaches. It's really mindset and then giving strategies, where you will maybe find some advisors who are willing to do like a budget with someone or that money management, but a lot of them are not interested in that, which is why we usually have a good relationship, because they can refer them to me and then I refer them back to them when they have, you know, control over their money and they're ready to start investing and planning for their future.
Got it. That makes sense. And with that, one thing comes to mind, just as another question. So you mentioned you naturally sort of, as a client, women get attracted to you. But I think fundamentally what you do can be used by anyone, right? Like, I don't feel like the strategies are going to be a little different for other folks, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. I think more of the connection comes with being able to relate to them from a woman's perspective. But definitely the strategies, the mindset, everything can really work for everyone.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So talk about the duration of this sort of coaching program and financial mindset program. Is it more like an ongoing thing? If you have a client, is it going to be more ongoing, or there's a set time where you kind of are able to change and make that impact in their lives?
It really depends on the client. So I have a 6-week program, which is actually a group program. So there's a community of women in there that are doing this process together, but there's also, you know, some one-on-one intensive that I do with each person so that each person gets their financial plan, because obviously, you know, all of our money situation is different. But then we also have weekly master classes over the 6 weeks as they're having this transition happen. So it really varies on the person, because some people are good, you know, after they have a, you know, that one-on-one session and then they're going through the classes, they really feel like, okay, I think I have control of this. I really want to see how far I can go with the tools that you have given me. And then other people are like, I just need that continued support. I need the accountability. I need you here so that if I have a question or I'm just not really sure about, you know, making a financial decision, I know that you're there to support me. So it really varies from person to person. But I like to think, not even not to think, but I know that the time that I spend with my clients is very impactful. So a lot of them can take what we've done in that 6 weeks and just kind of keep using those tools and referring back to those strategies, and so that they can continue to keep growing.
Got it. I'm very curious to kind of know or talk about some of the things, because initially you mentioned that people will 10x their income, but still live in that paycheck to paycheck and that kind of thing, which is very surprising to me as well when I hear this. So talk to us a little bit from an example standpoint. I know you cannot share the exact person, but just as a general example, like what, why does that happen? Like, how would someone make another extra $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 and still not be free and still not be in a comfortable position? I'm just curious to know what mistakes people do there.
Yeah, I think they just don't know how to manage their money. And a lot of it, you know, they just weren't taught it. So, you know, yeah, they can make the money. They're really good at that, but they've never been taught those. And I say basic, but they're really not basic skills, but those basic money management skills. And, you know, some people cringe when you use the word budgeting because they're like, it's restrictive. But
yeah.
The way I coach and teach, budgeting is not restrictive. It's simply a plan of where you want your money to go. So they aren't taught those skills that, okay, you need to allocate money to certain things so that when it comes in, you know where it's going. And then you know what you have left over to save, what you have left over to invest, pay off debt. And a lot of that, there's no clarity around their money. And they're just, when it comes in, now their lifestyle is changing. So maybe let's say they were making $50,000. Now they're making $80,000 or $90,000. And now they want to do some of the things that they weren't able to do because their income was less, like, you know, more self-care, maybe more vacations, whatever their thing is. But yet they're not, one, they don't have a plan already in place to manage their money, and then they're increasing their lifestyle. So now that extra money that is coming in, it's already spent because now they have more luxuries and more things that they're paying for that maybe they weren't paying for before. That's usually what it is they didn't already have a plan. They started making more money and maybe they were already a spender and they still have that difficulty with spending everything that comes in. So that sometimes is something that we can work through to like help them figure out what are those triggers or what are some other things that you can do when you feel like you want to spend so that you can take your mind off of that and do something else with that money. So that's usually what it is.
Got it. No, that makes sense. And I can also see like if someone have been running a business, let's say, and now to your point, now they're making more money. I think they have been in that investing mindset in that standpoint. So they'll end up sort of investing that money again, and not really using that money to free themselves up and that kind of thing, which again kind of ties them up. Probably that is the reason. Then if someone is working, like you're saying, they are not really in that investment mindset. They are probably in that spending mindset, and they will end up spending. So different mindsets, but still not being free, even with the extra money that you get.
Exactly.
That's good to know. And with that, let's talk about like a couple of things that you help with. You did talk about it at a broad level that what you help with, but just with that example, let's say there's a business owner who was making 100,000 and now they have increased their business and now they're making $150,000 and still they are not free and they're not using the money correctly. What type of just generic advice or suggestions that you give just based on your experiences?
Yeah, it's actually interesting because one of my clients is kind of basically similar to her situation. And when we worked together, she knew the money was coming in, but one, she already had like, because she, her income had increased so much over from one year to the next, she then ended up with a large tax bill that she wasn't planning for because she didn't know that she needed to put away so much money for taxes. And then now she had that new debt that she had to worry about. And then, you know, there was her business expenses. And then she also really wasn't sure like what she had to pay herself every month. She just knew she had bills, right? Like, oh, this is what my bills are. And I have no idea where my money is going. So again, having a budget or a spending plan that's really giving you a clear picture of where everything is going and what you are paying for, because that's another thing is sometimes we're holding on to these business subscriptions. We have a website, we have Zoom, we have all these things, and we're just paying for them. Sometimes we pay the year subscription and then we forget we have it and then it renews and then we just pay another $400 and it could be going on our business credit or out of our business account. But if we're not keeping track of those things, they can be very expensive and things that we're paying for that we may not need anymore. So really having a clear plan of what you are paying for, what you need to run your business and the stuff that you don't need, get rid of it. And then if you are a business owner and your business funds your personal lifestyle, you really should have two separate budgets or plans for that so that you know how to cover your personal expenses, how much you need to pay yourself every month so that you are not in the red with your personal expenses, and also how much you need every month to cover your business expenses. So you at least have a goal every month of, okay, I need to make $5,000 to cover everything, or I need to make $10,000 to cover everything. Mm-hmm. And then the other stuff is excess. So yeah, having a clear plan. And that's really what that, like that one-on-one session is really creating a clear vision, clarity. When you have clarity, it just gives more peace. That's it.
Sure. No, that makes sense. Yeah. Cause I guess a lot of people don't really know because they're not tracking and they're not aware. I think that that clarity and awareness sort of solves half of the problem, I guess. Cause once you have clarity and awareness, then you can kind of take decisions. Yep. But the decision-making is pretty difficult if you're not paying attention and we're not aware where the money or where anything is going in the business. So yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. You touched on your 6 week week program where you teach people. So I'm assuming that's a group. Is that a group coaching
setup? It is. Okay. A group coaching. I actually started out doing just one-on-ones, but I found that I wanted the community so that, you know, the women who I work with know that they're not alone. They know that it's not just them going through the stuff that they're going through. And I really enjoy that group environment, like that masterclass type setting, mastermind setting. So that is when I birthed my 6 week program and turned it into a group program. So yeah, so each person gets that individualized financial power planning session where we really go through all of their stuff and create a budget for them based on their lifestyle that they want to live. And I find that that's the most helpful, because a lot of people, when they start working with me, they think I'm going to tell them that they have to stop doing everything that they love so that they can budget. And they're like, oh no, I want to keep getting my nails done and going to the spa, right? So
right.
When they realize they don't have to do that, if they don't have a cash flow problem, then they're like, okay, this is good. But then we start touching on some of those money shames or mindset things that we're holding on to that is really getting in the way of us enjoying our money, whether it be us spending it all because we feel like, oh my gosh, I got to get rid of it because I've been told that, you know, money is evil, money is hot, you know, type all these things right. that we hold on to. Or if someone's like not necessarily a hoarder, but they hold on to everything and they're not allowing their money to flow so that it can come back to them right. and they can really enjoy, you know, the work that they're doing. So we work on mindset and, you know, address any shames or any things that's happening. And then we also touch on those tangible things like, how do you save? What are different ways that you can pay off debt? You know, how can you, you know, work through getting rid of some of those things that you no longer need that's not in alignment with what your financial values are? What are financial values? How do you want to live your life? Like, where do you really see, you know, your life going? And then, you know, this is how you can use your money for those things. So all the tangible things, we talk a little bit about credit and then, you know, really basic investing stuff. So really educational sure. versus me telling them where they should invest their money.
Right. Right. Okay. That makes sense. And, you said it's a 6 week program, group coaching. And then you mentioned that you also do that one-on-one coaching as well. And you kind of started with the one-to-one. And what made you go into this group coaching sort of setup? Was there a lot of demand and need for that, or was it more of a price point accessibility for your clients?
It was more of what felt good to me, to be honest with you.
Sure.
I found that the one-on-one for a long period of time was not as much fun as what I thought it would be. Let's just say that. Sure. But the clients, they really see the transformation. So that is very rewarding for me and them. But I also realize that I have to do what feels good to me so that when I do show up to my coaching calls, I can like really show up powerfully versus feeling like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So and then a lot more people, I guess a lot more people, a lot more experience, a lot more conversational kind of thing, different conversation, different personalities. Mm-hmm. Also, I guess what I've talked to a lot of coaches, it also helps coaches learn a lot of things very quickly, which can be now used in the one-to-one coaching space as well, because now you're interacting with a lot more people. So that makes sense. I was speaking to someone else the other day, and that's why I brought up the price point. They were like, hey, my one-to-one thing was pretty high price point, and some of the folks were not able to afford that. So I kind of had that group coaching thing, which was a lower price point, and now more people are able to access me. And it is also making sure that the coach is getting paid for their time, probably more than what they will get paid for one-to-one in a group coaching setting. Awesome. That's great. So with that, I do want to kind of switch gears a little bit and talk about your business, like your business as a financial coach, because mm-hmm. we have quite a few listeners who are wanting to be a coach. They may already be coaching someone on the side, but they're trying to think of jumping in and starting that as a full-time thing. So with that, I'd love to talk about your initial days when you were like, hey, a couple of years ago, you're not officially a coach. Now you're like, you were thinking that, hey, I'm going to take this leap of faith. I'm going to start this new gig or this new career as a financial coach. Talk to us about that. And what exactly did you do to get your first few clients?
Yeah, it was a little difficult because I was transitioning from a multi-level marketing program to my own thing as a coach. So for me, that transition was a little difficult because some people still thought I was doing my multi-level marketing thing for, mm-hmm. The company that I was with. And it was like, they were confused because they're like, are you still doing that or are you doing your own thing? So that transition was difficult because that was also in the financial space. But once, some people realized like, okay, I've been wanting to work with her, but I didn't necessarily need the services she was advertising over there, but I do like what she's doing now. Then they were like, okay, like, how can we work together? So, mm-hmm. a couple of people started with like one session. And I also feel like maybe they just felt like, I want to work with her, but I really don't need all of the stuff that she's offering in her package, which was fine because that also helped me really get my feet wet and start working with them. So a lot of, I was heavy on Facebook using my personal profile, posting, mm-hmm. Constantly. And I was doing a lot of live videos. So really showing up and being consistent so that people knew like, okay, she's really serious about this. Where I find that, not everyone needs that, right? And we all have our different own techniques, but for me going live and just being on Facebook was easy to me. Like that was the thing that worked for me. So I continued to do that, but just really talk differently about my messaging and what I was doing. So once I got my first client, like I was like super excited because I'm like, wow, someone paid me an hour, something that, more than what I make, like probably 2 days at my full-time job, right? So it was pretty exciting. And I think that is like the one thing that you can hold on to as a coach, like, wow, this thing that I've been doing over here for free, or maybe thinking like no one's going to pay me $300 for an hour of my time. Someone actually pays you for it and you have an impact in their life and they give you a great review. Right. So that's exciting because you always kind of hold on to that. Like, okay, I'm really good at this. Now I got to keep it going. And then, from there, it was just, really getting clear on what my messaging was. And then I also knew this is not even like a requirement, but for me, I was like, okay, I need a website. I need an email. I need all these things because it made me feel more legit, even though coaches really don't need that. Like you just need a payment system that people can pay you, be very clear on your messaging and at least get some money in before you really start investing too much out. But yeah, so once I got all that stuff in place, then, I got my next client who actually found me right through my website. It was like super exciting. Nice. And it was like, wow, like I could make all of this money doing something I really enjoy doing. So And I've done different things with different nonprofits, different financial workshops and things like that, and other master classes and just speaking engagements, all because I showed up consistently and people were really connecting to what I was doing. So, I would say that for coaches that if you feel like, you don't want to just work one-on-one with people, there's other ways that you could really coach people, whether it's in a workshop or at a speaking event or, you know, different opportunities that are going to come. And it's just good to be open to those opportunities as opposed to saying, no, I'm just going to do this one thing and that's all there is available. So, yeah.
That's a great advice. I appreciate that. Very solid advice there. So on that, another question I'm curious about, like if someone really wants to get into these other things, which are like networking opportunities, speaking engagements, and sort of showing up on other things, is there a suggestion? Do you have any suggestion on how to leverage that as a person or as a coach? Because I guess most people naturally try to only think of social media and ads and website and their network of friends to start off with. But this is a great suggestion that that there are other avenues as well. So any thoughts there, how someone can explore and get started on that one?
Yeah, I mean, they could really, LinkedIn is a great resource because there's so many professionals on there. And when people see that you're showing up, they get curious. And if you have like a free event or something, you know, you'll find that people just attend because they want to see who you are and what you're doing. Like I've had plenty of people do that and then message me after like, oh, by the way, this is why I was there. So when people see that you show up, sometimes naturally they just reach out to you. Or if you want to be a part of an organization or you really feel like you can make an impact at what that organization is doing, reach out to them, send them an email and say, hey, this is what I have going. I really like what you're doing. This is who I am. And, you know, just reach out to them to see, because there may be an opportunity there and it may not be paid. It may be a free thing, but it can get you noticed. It can get people to your website or however you want to funnel those people in so that they know who you are and you start creating a presence offline that can get you some more clients. Or you can sign up for websites like podcastguest.com.
Sure.
And, you know, get yourself out there. There's also different websites that offer speaking opportunities out there. I can't think of any off top of my head, but you can sign up for those websites to say, like, I want to be a speaker. Some of them require you to pay a monthly fee, but you don't have to go out searching. People search for you and then they find you. And then that's how you can sign up for those things. So really just stepping out and, you know, being taking that fear out the way and doing something different, because social media can only really get you so far. There's some people who are very successful using just social media, but it's really important that you make that connection with organizations and people so that they know who you are and you're the first person they think of when they're thinking of a financial coach.
That makes a lot of sense. That's a pretty solid advice there, that go out, reach out to your network, people out there, plus also even online space. There are a lot of portals and websites out there where we can get registered and kind of put our name out there and just be there and network. And I guess earlier in this call, you also mentioned that you get referrals from financial advisors as well. So I'm assuming you're doing great at networking on that side of thing as well. So I guess that's another avenue where not just financial coaches, but any coach can kind of figure out what are those folks or other people in the same space that are not competitive, and they can kind of start to do the referral cross-selling there, I guess. Definitely.
Because, you know, it's almost a mutual thing, because I don't do life insurance. I don't do investing. Yeah. So they know like, okay, these are my people. And I can easily say, okay, go to that person or go to this person. And sometimes, you know, people get nervous to work with certain people because they don't know them, right? But if they have a solid referral or someone that's referring them to them, then they're like, okay, I can work with that person because she referred me. So it goes both ways.
That makes sense. I know you have a hard stop in a minute from now. So just the last question, any further advice for the coaches out there?
No, just show up. You know, a lot of people have that imposter syndrome, like, oh my gosh, who am I to be a coach to someone? Just show up in your gift, and whatever you've been doing for free, or you know you have that expertise, that skill, just do it. And the more you do it, the more it's going to flow and people are going to gravitate to you. And then you will be the expert that you think or thought that you weren't in no time, and then your confidence will just like go through the roof. So just show up and that's it.
Awesome. And lastly, if someone wants to reach out to you for advice or anything, where can they find you?
They can go to my website, shesthebudgetguru.com, and do the contact me. It'll send me an email and you'll get directly connected to me, or you can find me on Facebook or LinkedIn, my first and last name, Nishaya Richardson. You can send me a direct message and I'll definitely respond.
Awesome. Well, Nishaya, it was great speaking with you today. I really appreciate you jumping on, sharing such solid advice. And I'm sure our listeners really loved the conversation today. With that, let's stay connected and good luck with what you're doing and helping people out there.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.